this morning, and then we're going to take a quick tea break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to do another session. And today's pretty important because we're going to just stop and take stock of where we are as a church, what's the journey we're on, what's the roadmap look like, and what does it mean for us as Christians as we move forward. So what we're going to be doing is to understand what that looks like is we're just going to put Sean on the spot and we're going to interview him, and he's going to share with us some ideas, and it's going to unfold as we go over the next couple of hours. So if you get to morning tea and you go like, I have no idea, it's all very confused, just relax, it will be fine. By the time we get to lunchtime, it should be very clear. So just to let you know. And if at the end of lunchtime it's unclear, then we can all pray that God will give us the clarity of the vision that we need, right? So I've always got a backup. Isn't he fantastic? He gives us a backup, yeah? Now, before we actually get in, there are also some things that I would like to do. And first of all, I would like Catherine just to stand up. Can you stand up for me, please? Catherine has quietly, over the last 4 months, taken bookings and registrations for this camp. She's handled questions such as, is there a room service menu? Who do I call for wake-up calls? I only stay in the room with the underfloor heating. I'm a vegan, and I don't have an orange on my plate with a tomato. And she's very patiently dealt with all those queries, and she's handled all our registrations, and she's put today together from a logistics perspective. So can you please say thank you to you? So thank you very much. The other group of folk that I'd like us to thank is, you know, some of us just arrive, right? We just have our brekkie, we walk in this room and we do our thing and we all walk out. And we don't give a thought to the little angels that set up the cords, the microphones, the chairs, right? We don't think about that. We just go, it just happens. But it doesn't. So I don't have a list of all those names, but to all those angels that put together the setup and the room and everything, we thank you. Yeah? Okay, and I think the only person I need to thank now is the garden gnome at the bottom of the garden. Have I covered everybody else? Everyone done? Oh, yeah, of course. Them too, we got them. Okay, so I think we should begin by putting our pastor under the spot. What do you reckon? I think he gets off too lightly. Can I do that? Can I do that? Okay, so
Hasn't been discussed with me yet.
No, I know. But, you know, you're in front of friends and family, so you'll be okay. Promise. So, you know, I think at the moment you can just grab a seat. So there are a couple of things I thought I'd just like to ask, because we've really got to get to know you as our pastor. You're our leader, right? And I don't know how much you know about Sean, but I guess we could always know some more. So I thought I'd start with a few gentle questions just to lead him in, right, to the process. So I want you to go back to when you were really tiny. Yeah? And what was that plate that your mum and dad would serve that you would like hate, that meal you hate and you had to eat? Can you remember that?
Yes, stewed spinach.
Stewed spinach. You didn't eat stewed spinach. Okay. So let's fast forward. Shall we go to his darling wife and go, do you serve stewed spinach? You don't. Ah, you're lucky. So what does she serve you that you kind of go like, mm? I said I'm going to put you on the spot. Hey? No, I'll tell you what, we won't put you under that pressure. I'll take you away. You want to? No. In for a penny, in for a pound. Okay, let's get really deep and personal then. Tell us how you proposed to Trudy. Ah, okay. All right, we're going to have to do two. You're going to have to tell us that meal, and then you need to tell us how you proposed to her. That's also an interesting question. I'm going to watch your face just to check this is real.
Yeah, the thing that I love lamb, but sometimes...
Okay, out it comes. Yeah, out it comes.
Trudy can be a bit of a salt pot.
A salt pot?
Yes, not a sour pot, a salt pot.
Okay, so she likes a little bit of salt over the lamb, does she?
Yes.
Yes?
So that I find it extremely challenging to enjoy.
Okay. Right, thanks for that. Now, you do know there are going to be 98 people watching you at the next meal where you
yes,
kind of
business like that.
Okay, terrific, thank you. So I'll let you sort that out later, shall we? Yeah, okay. That's why we have a recreational break this afternoon.
That's why I had the liberty to say it. She does know it.
She does know it. Okay.
I'm not known to keep quiet. So.
Oh, okay, that's good. All right. And then very, very quickly, tell us, how did you propose? When you know that you know that they know that you know that you're the one?
When I knew that I knew that I knew,
yeah.
I had not even dated Trudy, and I phoned her up, and I said, look, I want to come and see her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I visited her the next week at her apartment, and I just thought, you know what, I've got nothing to lose. I might as well just, I'd never even held her hand, and I just asked her straight out, will you marry me?
Just like that?
Just like that.
Seriously? Just like that? Not, do you want, can I have a phone number? Do you like pizza? Nothing. Just like that. And you said? Wow.
And yeah. I'll pray about.
Yeah, her response was, she'll pray about it, but that hardly went out of her mouth. Then she totally floored me. She grabbed a hold of me and gave me a kiss. That we won't go into any further description.
I think we're going to stop there. Too much information. We're going to stop there.
And you know what? Until we actually stood in front of the altar, she had still not said yes. She thought the kiss was sufficient.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, I've got a fantastic solution for you. So this afternoon, when we're on our recreation thing, you're going to have a little chat about the salt. If I was you, I'd just walk up, give her a big kiss, and it'll all go away.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, terrific. So thanks, Sean. So we know a little bit more about our pastor now. So today, we want to just stop and think about how we're going to move forward. And we're all on an incredible journey when you think about your Christian walk. And so, Sean, when we think about where we are as an organization and a brethren of followers and Christians and as a church, I don't know if anybody here is kind of going, but why are we here, right? Do you want to tell us a little bit about why are we actually here today? It'd be good for us to know.
Well,
condensed.
We're here.
Okay, I'll condense him.
In a nutshell, we're here to reach our world.
We're here to reach our world.
Yes.
Okay. So what is here to reach our world mean?
Well, we're really here because I know that God has gathered a people together that carry us similar, really carry the same vision in our hearts. And I honestly believe that there is... The Lord wants us to be a people that truly represent His heart and His passion to not only impact and transform our lives, but through that process, impact and transform the world.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to do that. Why does that make today so special? Why is today?
Well, because really today is a culmination and a coming together and the final rollout of a three-year journey. It's probably a much longer journey than that. Really, 15 years ago was when Trudy and I just felt, God speak to me about really coming back to the foundations of the church and really the mandate of heaven. And I think all of us, got caught up in this thing of building a church, a ministry based upon a platform and what I call a traction model church. and having all the bells and whistles and we were in the midst of that and we were experiencing significant growth, and God in His grace will use everything, and He was touching lives, but I began to really wrestle with the Great Commission and saying, are we truly making disciples, or are we just converting a lot of people and then building a crowd?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because a lot of churches, when you think about converting people to disciples, when you come into a church, the first thing they do is they give you a lovely little gift bag with a coffee mug, and then they ask you to fill out a little card, and then they sign you up to 14 different programs plus a home group. And you kind of get to the end of the year, and you go like, I'm a bit tired. Is this what discipleship is?
No.
Yeah?
No. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the journey that started 15 years ago that eventually led us to come to Melbourne 3 years ago. And then to begin to really wrestle with the opportunity of saying, okay, we really have the opportunity to birth something mm-hmm. that I believe takes us back to what we use the term simple church.
Okay.
Back to loving Jesus, loving people, mm-hmm. and making disciples, growing people.
Okay.
And of course, you know, in that journey, we began to define the term grow mm-hmm. as really embodying that passion and that dream. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it boiled down to. We began to really, you know, just break it down to that simple reality of grow. Growing mm-hmm. people, grow me, grow you, mm-hmm. grow together, and growing the kingdom really as the basis of that discipleship. But growing also then standing for go reach our world, being a mission, you know, not just being missional in our heart and our desire and that we support mm-hmm. missions, et cetera, but really being mission shaped.
Okay.
You know, which is beyond just being missional, I think, personally. Mm. It's about saying, God, I want you to shape me with the mission of reaching the world.
Yes. You know? Okay. So with that in mind then, as we move forward with our focus around grow, why can't we just be Metro Church that grows?
Well, it's not that we can't be that. Mm. I think the fact of the reality is that Metro in itself didn't come out of the identification of actually being that sort of type of church. Mm. And the name itself embodied a different culture of church mm-hmm. And a partnership that we were looking at doing with a couple of other churches mm-hmm. that carry that same name. And so okay. in that journey, realizing that, you know, it wasn't intentional, but I think it was intentional from God, is that that whole initial plan didn't really happen, didn't come together. And I think it was because God had this in heart and in mind.
Okay.
You know, and then secondly, what we did begin to find is that the term Metro brought almost a confusion, especially with people outside, you know, especially as I began to engage the marketplace a lot more and begin mm-hmm. to talk about our passion and dream of grow, I would find that people would say, well, you know, but aren't you called Metro, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. And where does that kind of fit in, you know? And then also,
it was a bit out of sync, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was always required an explanation.
Okay.
You know, and it just made it complicated, to be honest with you. I just got tired of always having to explain, well, actually, we're all about grow, but we called Metro, you know, and it was kind of like this constant battle and explanation, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. And just then realizing and coming to, you know, to the leadership team and to yourself and others and saying, I just feel like God is really, you know, grow is becoming who we are. And if it's becoming who we are, it needs to be also our identity.
Okay, so if it's about go reach our world, then we need to be simply that and nothing more.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yes.
So that's where we're going to go from now?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so what that means is as we move forward, we're going to be instituting a couple of changes. Now, it's interesting because when you experience change, the first thing you do is you think about what you're going to give up. Right? So we're still going to have coffee at the end of a service. I can guarantee you that. That's not going to change, right? We're not changing that, are we?
No.
Okay, great. We're still going to have Sunday service.
Yes, Sunday celebration is a core part of
the
journey.
We're still going to have kids' church.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're still going to have music ministry.
Yes.
Okay, good. So a couple of things are going to stay the same.
Yes.
But a couple of things are going to change.
Yes.
Okay, like what?
Well, I think more than anything else is we want to really now become intentional about equipping the saints for that call of reaching the world.
Okay. Right. So one of the things that's going to change is maybe we're going to let go of the name Metro and we're going to bring in a new name.
Yes.
Okay. And so if we're not going to call ourselves Metro, what are we going to call ourselves?
Grow.
We're going to call ourselves Grow. Okay. So we're going to change from Metro Church to Grow Church.
Yes, but more than that, we're just actually going to be known. Yes, the church will probably be known as Grow Church because always that's the explanation for who we are.
Right.
But we're going to be the ultimate dream and vision and the relationships with a number of other churches and even some small movements that I've been working with and doing a journey with is they want to be a part of Grow as an actual identity and culture of mission-shaped church.
Okay, but I don't. I don't want to be a part of another mission.
You don't want to be a part of another mission?
No, okay. No. I just want to be part of a group of Christians that walk their daily Christian walk.
And well, I think part of walking that daily walk is reaching our world.
Okay. All right. Yeah. He got me there. All right. Okay. One for Sean, one for me. So he's just got me back there. So why don't we just take a little bit of time to share with you our new vision of where we're going to go in terms of our walk, what it's going to look like, what we're going to stand for, and share with you our kind of new identity that we've got moving forward. So just recapping there, Sean, that's really where we're going to go. It's about Christ forming us into our likeness, yes?
Into his likeness.
Into his likeness. Oh, yes. Well, our likeness, his likeness. Pretty much the same. He got me again. Two for Sean, one for Tim. All right. So that's, you know, kind of when we come to the movies, those are the banners that kind of greet us. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I got it. Gee, another. One for him, two for him. One. I'm all sides.
Can you see clear enough? Do we need to turn another row of lights off?
Okay. So maybe you need to close the blinds there. It's a little bit dark. Is that better? Okay. So when you normally
We don't have the nice big digital projector that we have at the cinemas.
Right. So when you come to church, those are the banners that you would see. When you come into church, into our service, those are the banners that you would see. And it's clearly given us an identity we called Metro. Now, if we're going to move forward and go reach our world, then perhaps we need an identity that's more aligned to that. So we're going to move from that identity and those banners and that word called Metro to this. Okay? That? This. That? This. That. Yeah? Okay, so maybe what we should do is just walk people through that. So it's still about grow me, grow you, grow together, which we had over there. But where we're going now is our focus is grow, go reach our world. So we're going to be known as grow. Grow me, grow you, grow together, grow the kingdom, yeah?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is that all you're going to say? Because if you are, I'm taking that as a point for me. Because then it's two for me, two for him. Two for you, we're even.
We're even.
We're even. Okay. So that's going to be our new identity. We're going to be known as Grow. And that's going to be our kind of brand and our logo and our look. And it's a God-given vision that each of us should capture and live. That's the ideal that you would like.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that means?
Yes, I think that's really, I carry the deep conviction that the only reason why the Church of Jesus Christ actually exists on earth is for the primary purpose, not to ultimately transform us, to develop our character, because Scripture clearly says that, you know, when we see Him as He is, we'll be like Him.
Yeah.
So, you know, God could have done Himself a big favor and just raptured us if it was about our character transformation.
Yeah.
You know, part of character transformation is part of the journey of discipleship, but the actual outcome, the purpose of the church being on earth, I carry the deep conviction that the only reason why we exist on earth is to fulfill the mandate of heaven.
Okay.
And that is to impact and transform our world. Invade it with the kingdom of heaven. And leaven that leavens the whole lump. And so for me, that's how Grow came about, was really that encapsulation of, you know, not only the mission mandate of go reach our world, but also the key to that is actually growing people to be able to reach our world. You know, discipling people. So both the ultimate mission as well as the journey is encapsulated in that same word.
Okay.
And I honestly believe that it wasn't even true. I didn't actually get the word grow or Trudy. It's an interesting story of how we came onto that word grow. It was actually a coach that ran, did an interview with me personally in a process, and then did an interview with Trudy separately. We were not allowed to communicate with each other. We were not allowed to talk about the questions that were asked. And he brought it down to one single word that he would then capture as that was a constant theme through the process of what really God was saying, not just to Trudy and I, but also through Trudy and I.
Okay.
As a separate, what's name? And when he sat us down and he said, well, do you know what the word is? And we're like, no. And he said, it's grow. He said, you don't realize, but you know, you kept on referring to, you kept on saying, grow this. It was in both of your conversations, and we felt very clear in that moment. It was like that, you know, that revelation moment, that eureka moment, like, wow.
And you get it. Yeah.
Lord, that's what you're saying. So really, it's no different to what Jesus originally gave as the mandate, Matthew 28, you know, go and make disciples. Okay. That word make
is the key thing. So let's take that mandate. It actually comes from Matthew where?
Matthew 28, verse 18.
Does anybody have a Bible on an iPhone?
Yes.
And anybody have a Bible which is a hard copy?
Yes.
See who can find that first, the iPhone or the hard copy Bible? Matthew 28, go. Matthew 28.
Verse 18.
Who's got it? Who's got it?
Delay.
Oh, it's the delay. Oh, there we are. There we go. Would you like to read it?
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
And verse 19.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always,
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So really, it's about I grow myself, I help to grow others, so I grow me, I grow you, and we grow together, and then we go reach our world, and we help the world to grow into the kingdom.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Simple. So our vision is in line with that. It's to be a church that actually focuses on living our lives according to that commission, and you'll find that in Matthew 28, verse 18.
It's 18 and 19, sorry. My
18
apologies.
And 19.
Yeah.
19. Okay. No problem. So we've got to be doing that every day in every way, not just on a Sunday, not just be thinking about it, walking around in our head going, I am a Christian, right? And that's a pretty bold thing for us to be doing. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so it's not something we can back away from. It's something we step into because we step into it because that's what we believe. We step into it because we're excited about it. We step into it because it gives us strength and it gives us boldness and it gives us greatness. I mean, who wants to stay the same?
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. Who wants to grow?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah?
I mean, to be honest, I am the absolute vegetable. But I am married to a wonderful woman who makes me grow like there is no tomorrow. Right? Just when I think it's okay, I can just close my eyes and veg, she goes, come on, let's go. And she pushes, stimulates, cajoles, kicks, talks loudly at, and she makes me grow. And I am a very, very different person in the world thanks to her. All right? So thank you. But as Christians, isn't it interesting how we sit back sometimes, right? You look at our society today, and where are the Christians? Where is the voice of the Christian? Where is the Christian in the community, right? Why aren't we out there? You don't see our growth. I don't know. We seem to do it in a cupboard. Yeah? We don't want anyone to know. I'm a Christian. Yeah, we're secret agents, James Bond, right? That's not what Matthew 28, 18, 19, and the rest says. You don't keep it in a cupboard. You grow. How do you grow? It's called light.
Yes.
So our purpose is to reach our world with the love and grace of Christ. Because you know what? He's got a Bible and told us how to do it. It's got a manual in it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So for vegetables like me, it's perfect. All I've got to do is open the Bible, and it's like by numbers. Right? Simple. So we've got it. How good is that? So, you know, in order for us to do that, you've got to have some values. Now, what are values, Sean? What do you mean by values?
Really, really determine our behavior.
So that's how I get out the cupboard.
Our passion, yes.
Yeah. Out the cupboard, into the light, I've got to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course those values, loving Jesus and his mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we've put loving Jesus and his mission is, although loving Jesus is all about loving his mission, most people don't consciously, you meet Christians all the time, oh, I love Jesus, but do you think they actually love his mission? No, they don't. And it's been a deception of the enemy to think that I can love Jesus without loving his mission. You know, Jesus put it this way, if you love me, you'll obey my commands.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying is not do the Ten Commandments, you know, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. Mm. He was actually talking about his command.
Mm. Be the Ten Commandments. That's right.
Well, it's even more than that. His command was love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself, and make disciples. So it's actually his command is a commission. It's a commissioning.
Do you realise he's now 4 points ahead of us? We've got to catch up. But it's very true, isn't it?
Okay. But loving Jesus and his mission.
Yeah.
And secondly, the basis of my capacity to begin to be that testimony in the world is kingdom living. Mm-hmm. You know, not small, insecure, insignificant, withdrawn, hiding in a corner, but expansive living in God. Abundant life Jesus came to give us. Kingdom living, our testimonial, unashamedly different to the world. And of course, if we're going to do this journey, it is about that commitment and passion and desire to say, you know what, I am going to give myself to grow. It's so intentional growth.
So those are the things that are important in terms of that's what we value, which allow us to actually then fulfill the purpose.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's
sort of
the handrail.
And then the final one, of course, is it's all about people. Mm-hmm. It's not about, we're not interested in being a church that's about programs, that's about buildings, that's about God. You know, God gives us those things, but if it doesn't undergird our purpose and doesn't carry the values that we embody as believers, then scrap the lot, you know. Kind of, that's my attitude anyway.
Okay, go. High five for that. Oh, very good. But
we've got to value people.
Okay. Excellent. So that then means we have a bit of a value proposition. So you know how you said sometimes it's quite difficult to explain or describe what we do to people? Yeah. So then the value proposition we've got
is really Christ growing us or forming us into his likeness so that we can advance his kingdom in the world.
Okay.
You know, it's not so that I can become a holier than thou. Oh, you know, I'm now a great preacher or I'm a great this and I'm a great Christian, I'm a great prayer. No. I'm fruitful.
Okay.
I'm fruitful.
All right.
In transforming my world.
Fantastic.
My world is better off because I'm in it. My workplace is better off because I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
My family is better off because I'm in it.
Mm.
I carry the character of Christ and he's forming me into his likeness and makes me a better lover, a better servant, a better encourager, it makes me a huge blessing that becomes the basis of me sharing the gospel.
An appreciation of salted lamb.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay. So, just to recap.
I still have to pray about that one.
You can see where we're moving forward according to his Great Commission. You can see the vision that we're going to move forward and the values by which we're going to live by in order to allow that to happen. Right?
Yes.
Yes. Simple. Grow. Go reach our world.
Simple.
Easy. But as we go forward, you know what becomes interesting is to think about what does that look like? How does that make us feel? How do we know we're doing that? Right? So we've had someone who's worked with us tirelessly, who's just an absolute genius at helping us with the look, the brand, and the feel so that we can remind ourselves every day, in every way, what grow means. And the person that's helped us with that is Kim.
Absolutely. And she has literally put hundreds, she and Ross, we have to mention Ross as well. He's not here this weekend, but he's a big part
together.
Of it. And I can really say that Kim and Ross have just
worked tirelessly.
Hundreds of hours. They've almost pulled their hair out more than once with me over the last year or two.
But we've got there, you know, and what's interesting...
It's a good thing it grows back.
Absolutely. I mean, the interesting thing is, you know, is we get the kind of the direction from God and the leadership team takes this and we think about our journey forward and then we go, so what's it going to look like? What's it going to feel? What's it going to sound like? What colors are going to use? And you know what we do? We go, oh, just give it to them. Put it in the suck it up bucket. They'll work it out. And off we go. But they've done an amazing, amazing job to help us understand what our identity is. So I'm going to ask you to share with us, why do you think it's important that as a church, as we go reach our world, we need to have a brand or an identity?
Well, Tim, it's really the most dynamic way that we can actually communicate our message to the world. There's a lot to branding in terms of signature, typography, how it looks. And really, if you put up that visual there, if we look at the signature, which is the grow, the four circles... we chose to signify that symbolically the cross of Christ. So if you look, you'll see the bottom circle is slightly lower, and it's really a subliminal vision of the cross of Christ. And then it's to be intentional about the grow you, grow me, grow together, and grow the kingdom. That also signifies the four circles. So, and it's a dynamic process. It's one that we need to own. I think we've mentioned that it's an ownership thing, and we need to be intentional about it. So our logo needs to embody the things that we want to be intentional about, and really that signature's out there. It's a bit like I got God said to me, you know, like God is our banner. He's over us, Jehovah Nisi, I think it is. he's our banner. And grow is like our banner, really. When we're not feeling so great, it's there. You know, grow is there in its form. If I can go to a corporate example, if I said to you, if I showed you a tick, most of you would say to me, that's Nike, you know, the Nike tick. And you'd know the line, just do it. It's such a powerful thing, and it's there all the time, and there's a lot of equity being built up. So it's really important that we get it right. The color is green, which is actually a sign of wealth. So we wanted to convey the wealth that we have in Christ, as well as the diversity. You'll see later that we've used different colors as well, so it can be translated into other colors, like obviously Grow Kids needs to be colorful because it's children are colorful. So you know, it can be translated. It can be translated to men or to women, pink, blue, etc. But also, we wanted to say that we're celebrating the uniqueness of each person with it. The typography is just clear and solid. So, you know, if we had gone for something very cursive, you wouldn't see it very clearly, and we felt that it's not the brand to do that with. So these are all the things that go into actually designing logos. It's quite involved. And then the photography, if we go to the next slide, those are like the generic visuals that we've chosen to embody Grow. And if you remember where we've come from, Metro to Grow now. Those are the solid visuals that have stayed with us, you know, and arguably they're the thing that created in your minds the understanding of what Grow means, because really Grow is about growing as a plant grows, you know, and we are all seedlings and we're different at different stages of our journey. And so we're trying to embody that with the visuals. So together, it creates a powerful communication tool that needs to be maintained consistently.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, you know, I think the other thing about a brand and the other thing about a Christianity is we don't want to be vanilla.
Yes, come on.
Yeah, come on, come on. This vegetable doesn't want to be vanilla. I mean, being vanilla is better than being a vegetable, but hey, why stop at vanilla? Let's be something, right? So you want to make sure you've got something that's interesting. You want to be able to engage with people. Yeah. You want to be proud of who you are. So you want to actually know that your brand stands for something that you can actually believe, you can articulate it, you can talk about it, you can get up in the morning and go like, this is what I am, this is what I stand for.
That's right.
Yeah?
That's right.
So it needs a bit of personality, it needs a bit of sizzle.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the marketing world, in the corporate world, we know branding is very, very important. Yep. So talk to us a little bit about the personality and that a brand needs. Yeah?
Okay, well, personality is really about the how. You start to flesh out how it actually looks in real form. You see the visual. And then you say, if I said to you, Grow was a person standing in front of you, what would they look like? And, you know, we go through a process where we look integrally at that. And so as in terms of going into that, we've pulled out a lot of words. And then they've all culminated in these three areas, which traits which we've highlighted for you. And I'm going to pass over to Pastor Sean because he can really flesh it out for you in terms of the apostle, the equipper, and the carpenter.
Thanks, Kim. I mean, she really just put it already, set the stage that that our personality as a church and as a movement is what we want people to encounter from our characteristic perspective when they encounter us. And, you know, the little statement that we have there is we make an impression not only by what we do, but how we do it. We all have personalities, characteristics that define us. Not just what we do, but how we do it. And how many of us have experienced, I mean, let's be honest, we've experienced the discipleship-based church. It's not a new concept. It's not a new mandate. God gave it to the church 2,000 years ago. There have been attempts through in the last 20, 30 years to rebirth that sort of thing. But I don't know about you. I had the opportunity to be part of something that attempted to embrace that, but it was very, very controlled. It was more about the willpower of the individual to get his life cleaned up than about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and those are some of the experiences. And so when people encounter us, the things that we want them to encounter is, first of all, is apostle. Apostolic. And what we really mean that is that the Apostle Paul makes reference to the fact that he was an apostle, and the testimony of his apostleship was what? A demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Demonstrate God's power to transform, reform, and revive. Through calling forth the supernatural touch of God, people are marked by signs and wonders and live God-inspired lives as they grow. Who wants to say an amen to that? You know, can you embrace that? I don't know about you, but that ignites something in my spirit that says, yes, I want to live in that reality of the apostolic.
Yes, come on.
Out of the New Testament revelation of that, to live in that supernatural touch of God. I want my life to be marked. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. Amen? Right. These signs will follow. And let's become a people who have those signs and wonders following. Amen? And know that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to transform people's lives. When we touch their lives, we don't want them to be touched by us. We want them to be touched by the power of God. Amen? So apostle, then equipper and competent. Well, grow has to embody, and discipleship is all about making disciples. You know, one of the things I think, one of the mistakes the church has made is we've created a lot of programs and events and trusted people to come into that, create an environment trusting that they'll encounter the Holy Spirit. So what we've done is we've basically said, well, we'll make the church, Holy Spirit, you make the disciple. We'll build the church. You make the disciple. No, I think my Bible tells me that Jesus said, I will build my church. You make disciples.
That's right. The other way around.
The other way around. You know, let's get back to the place where Jesus builds the church and we make disciples. We build people. So secondly, we have to be our personality. And as we encounter, we want people to encounter equippers. We want people to encounter people that have given themselves to actually helping them grow. So equip, invite people to be transformed by the renewing of their minds and hearts, equipped by the truth. You see, we don't want to give them opinions. We don't want to give them natural wisdom. We want to give them the basis. And let's be honest, I'm deeply, deeply concerned about the state of the contemporary church in the West right now. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and the lack of word, the lack of biblical truth that's in there. Great inspirational things, great little principles. But you know what? I can go and get a Tony Robinson CD and get more inspiration when it comes to inspirational motivation than, you know, he's a professional at it. He does a lot better than most preachers. You know, our mandate is not to give them inspirational principles. Our mandate is to give them the Word of God.
Yes,
that's the transforming power.
Yes,
and that's what the Holy Spirit works with. So equip a carpenter, and to be passionate about that, equipped by the truth and to grow in timeless wisdom in God.
Amen.
Amen? You know, I carry a passion that we again become marked as a people of the Word.
Yeah,
you know? If people want to ridicule us and call us wordaholics, so be it. Hallelujah. Amen. And to understand the power of that leads us to the third one is really, again, that value about people is if it's not expressed in the personality trait of being an encourager, an environment of encouragement. Come on, guys. I honestly believe that one of the greatest keys to unlocking people to become all that God has created them to be is encouragement.
Yeah.
Is encouragement, you know? And that encourager, which is a demonstration of the shepherd's heart. demonstrate empathy, and through the supernatural, encourage others to choose Christ, then impact their world as they unlock all that God created them to be. And let me make something very clear. Our passion and desire and dream is not to mobilize an army of people to come and serve in the house to build some church and some vision. In that sense, no, our desire and our interpretation of Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 is go and make disciples, is equipping the saints for the work of their ministry.
Great. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's kind of move on our journey around the branding, and it's a little bit about how we're going to express our way to the world. So that's what people have got to see. So we could all go and have tattoos made. Anybody want to do that? Me first?
You first?
Me first, that's okay. I'm happy to do that. I've got a double jointed arms. I would put it there. Okay, so let's go back to Kim. Yeah? Let's go back there. That got rid of the tattoo quickly. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Kim, a little bit about, you know, the idea of the branding and the personality and how that actually then outwardly demonstrates what we stand for.
Okay, well, it's... Sorry. Helps, hey? Technology. Really, it's our point of contact for the outside world. So, as I said earlier, when we're out there, if we have the consistency of grow, and that's embodied not only in what we say, which is crucial, but also what it looks like, you know, to friends, family, business people, it's communicating and declaring who we are, really. And each contact is an opportunity to express what's unique about grow and how we help transform people into God created individuals. So that's really crucial.
Okay, so here's some examples, I think, coming up of what the brand could look like potentially.
Yeah. So visually, you know, I mentioned consistency. The Grow logo should always be used in that way. We have a typography which is Futura. So there's a consistency of the actual logo. If any of you know anything about typography, there are millions of different styles. So that creates a consistency, and then how the colors, obviously, and as you can see, the backgrounds, the photography, all that flows together. That's
so
an
we've
example.
Got a consistent theme there through emails, banners, posters, notes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then let's talk about how the brand also helps us move forward and position ourselves to move forward into the grow.
Yeah, this is really to move us from just a visual thing to actually causing us to empower people around us. So, you know, we want to supply, I suppose, material and things that are going to embody the equipping side and carpenter, which refers to the refining of these things. We need everyone's help to move that forward, you know, so that we communicate the right things. And this is an example of, it's not only about our church, you know, it's about the, because we're, what does the Bible say? One puts a thousand to, and 10,000, yeah, you know the one I mean.
They all know it, they know it, they know it. One for them, four for him, two for me, three for him, we're all in the game. Okay.
So, but you know, by partnering with various individuals, that's what we want to do. And so this is an example of how Grow can sit with other logos quite comfortably.
Yep. Okay. All right. And then it's, I guess it's about, it's a vision of how we change the world, how we go reach our world. It's got to start with us. It's about how do we grow me, how do we grow you, and how do we grow together? So if we don't start with ourselves, there's no point going to reach the world, right? So when we look at the area of grow and we think about, well, how do I grow myself? It's an interesting question because we're all at different stages in our journey of growth.
Yeah.
Some of us in our Christian walk are like that. Some of us are like this. Some of us are like this. And you know, if you go one size fits all, it doesn't really work, right? No. So, you know, Sean was going to announce that from now on, if you want to join the Grow Church, then we all have to attend the new members' lunch next Sunday. And then there will be a 10-week orientation program, at the end of which we will get a certificate. Right? I can just see the looks on your faces. Ha, ha, ha. We're not going there. Definitely not. And there won't be any lamb or salt. So what we've got to recognize is that it's okay to be different, and we're at different stages, and that's fine. We are all growing, and some of us are kind of mature with new green shoots, and some of us are little seeds, some of us, you know, in the dark. And so it's about how do we grow. So we want to be able to start to kind of really begin the process. If we're going to change the world, we begin with us. And so we've got to have a way of making sure that we grow. So what we're going to ask you to do is to grab a tea and a coffee and grab a tea break. We've got some brochures. You see, we're carrying around these green booklets. It's got everything in there that we've shared with you this morning. We'd like to give you one and have a look at that. Come and ask us any questions. And when you come back after our tea break, and please do come back, what we want to do is show you exactly how we begin the journey of growing ourselves. Because why do we have to wait for next week? We're going to do it right now. And we'll share with you the process that we'll go through. So how long have we got for tea? We've got... So now it's 5:05.
Okay, so we're only 5 minutes behind time. So, yeah, we allocated, I think, 15 minutes. Is that right, Catherine? Yes.
Right, okay. Yeah. So let's be back here at 11:20.